Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is once again in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio. It is the day before Super Bowl 55, so we'll get to that at the end of the day. But first, let's talk about apparently the new source of political wisdom in America, one Mike Lindell, a.k.a. the founder of MyPillow, who is just, you can't make this guy up. I mean, you know, congratulations on getting off.
I'm pretty sure South Park did, actually.
Did they make fun of him specifically?
Well, they made fun of him specifically, but I'm pretty sure there was a character... like him we knew who he was. But anyway, proceed.
Yeah, so anyway, Mike Lindell was on Newsmax spouting off this, I have all the evidence now, I'm going to show America that the election was stolen, and just rattling off shit to the point where the host of the Newsmax program walked off.
Yep.
He quit.
It was remarkable.
It was amazing.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine Walter Cronkite or Tom Brokaw just, look, Mike, you're being crazy. Mike, stop. Mike, fuck this, I'm done, and he's getting up and walking away.
I mean, just like, look, we want to talk about something. Not like, I mean, the whole interview was about cancel culture, right? And this guy, Mike Lindell, completely goes off about fraud, election, blah, 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 blah. Like, again, just no facts, just all bullshit. And, the host from Newsmax is just like, nope, okay, fine, screw it. I don't have time for this.
Right.
And, like, walks away.
Tried to give him multiple times and get back on.
Yeah. I mean, which is... There's an argument to be made that a lot of that should have gone on very early with Trump to begin with. But when, like, right. Back when he was campaigning in 2015. But it didn't, you know, so whatever. But, and look, I'm a person who said, look, Trump can absolutely win this election in 2015. And the reason why is I just felt like I had a good pulse of what was happening across the country. It was not, Trump didn't create it, but he capitalized on it. And there was this arrogance by the progressive left and by Democrats and by, you know, center left people that it was just a foregone conclusion that, you know, one, Trump was a joke and that this was Hillary's, it was in the bag, right? Yeah. And I'm like, I think you guys are misreading the tea leaves here. I think you guys are underestimating the sentiment by, you know, Midwestern pissed off white guy with goatee and Oakleys, right? And there's a lot of them, and they're not thrilled about a lot. They feel threatened by everything that's not specific to them. And Trump is stroking that, right? And there was evidence of it everywhere, right? But Trump is a joke. Listen, I agree. I thought that Trump, I still think that he is a joke of a human, right? Like, yeah, he's worth $2.5 million or $2.5 billion, but at the same time, he was literally, he started halfway down third on his way to home in terms of his right. entrepreneurial business and everything else, right?
Sure.
I mean, he was basically handed an empire. He was handed $1 million back in the 70s, which, you know, if you adjust for inflation, is a shit ton of money,
and
right?
It's only $1 million if you believe him, which I do not.
What's that? I don't know. I mean, his dad was a dick, so I'm sure his dad probably gave him $1 million and said, get the fuck out of here. But even still, right, like, I mean, I thought Trump was a dick when I saw him on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous back in the early 90s. I thought he was a dick. I thought it was a joke when I saw he was in Home Alone 2 or whatever. I thought it was a joke on it when he was on MTV and Saturday Night Live and professional wrestling. I thought his show was stupid. I never watched The Apprentice. I couldn't believe that it was on and that people watched it the way that they did, right? And that's all, like, history where I've always thought this guy was a joke, and nothing changed when he decided to run for president. That didn't change my mind. And the thing that always frustrated me about him, his campaign, and then him becoming president and his administration is that people who thought the exact same thing that I did about him all of a sudden thought that, yeah, this is totally the guy that should be running our country, right? And it's just like, wait, what?
Well, I think in 16, a lot of people voted for him expecting him to lose, and they wanted to be able to say, fuck Hillary. She's so bad, I voted for Trump.
But there was also that sort of intellectual arrogance going on, right?
Right.
Like, I don't like Hillary, and I've got all these reasons why I don't like her, and so I'm not going to vote for her to show you how smart I am. Okay, congratulations. Well, look where you got us.
Right.
But that being said, you know, as it relates to this Mike Lindell guy, you know, I think the guy from Newsmax did the right thing. Like, look, this is not what we brought you on to talk about. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, you are literally in the land of make-believe right now. I'm trying to have a serious show, even though I'm on Newsmax. And now, there's a reason, though, and we'll come back to it when we get to this topic down here that you guys can't see, but, you know, Jim, my co-host,
great,
can.
Great radio.
And I'm doing it for a reason, right? Building all a little drama. Right. But we'll talk about why I think this happened the way that it did when we get to that. But, you know, I think that it was the right move. Like, fuck it. You don't want to be serious. You don't want to take this interview serious. You want to just go off on your own. It's not your show. So, fuck it. We'll just shut it down.
What's amazing, though, is it did happen on the network that is competing with OAN for we want to get further up Trump's ass than Fox. People are saying moving further to the right. I don't think that's an accurate description. I don't view Trump as extremely right wing at all. He's the face of the Republican Party, and they're clinging to him like grim death.
This is the Republican Party. People are saying, oh, the Republican Party is this and that, and it's changing, blah, blah, blah. No. This is what it has been since the Tea Party, right? Like, since Obama, right? Like, they completely lost their minds over Obama because he was black, because he was so progressive, right? Because Obama was so progressive, which is bullshit. Obama wasn't progressive, right? Like, I mean, it was a progressive move to have him as president, but Obama said some things that were, hemmed and hawed about gay marriage, right? Yeah. Like, it was Joe Biden who was the one who really came around and pushed the whole gay marriage thing over the top. It wasn't Obama, and even Michelle Obama was kind of like, eh. And they had to do it, right, as the first black couple in the White House in any real capacity. They had to play it safe. They had to play it a little bit conservative. I don't necessarily fault Obama for that. One of my only real gripes about Obama was his handling of foreign policy, right? I thought he just pussyfooted around and tried to be too neutral and tried to please too many people and nobody and didn't do much in the realm of foreign policy like he needed to, but the rest of it I don't really have a problem with, right? But when it comes to Trump and how far right-wing and who supports him, how right-wing they are, like, people are, you know, how you judge far right conservatism or far left progressivism, like, doesn't really matter, right? Ultimately, like, this is where the party is, right? And it's being embraced and endorsed by the party as a whole. There's a few holdouts, whether it's a Mitch McConnell or I can't even think of anybody.
Mike Pence?
Yeah, I don't know. He embraced Trump pretty strong. I mean, like, and he won't let, like,
and they wanted to hang him for it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, that, but yeah, sure. I mean, like,
Rand Paul, actually, the perfect example was Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Mitt Romney is obviously is a holdout, and there's a few others that have, you know, kind of shown some sense, but, you know, I don't think this is the new Republican Party. This is just where it's been for the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, you know, and I think that OAN is, like you said, in competition with Newsmax for, you know, which network is going to be the network that Trump supporters and followers go to the most, right, and silo themselves for, like, what's going to be the key Trump MAGA echo chamber moving forward, because they no longer trust Fox, right? Like, right. Fox has done, in some corners of Fox, has done a little bit of a mea culpa on the thing, and they're trying to kind of get some credibility back. Fox News, their ratings have really tanked over the last, you know, few months since Trump lost the election. So, you know, Newsmax and OAN are trying to fill that void. Newsmax is going one way, OAN is going the other, because OAN gives Mike Lindell, you know, a 2-hour special, right, to do what?
Talk about Stop the Steal. So I watched a fair bit of it, because apparently I'm stupid. No, you did not. And to be honest, and I think we're both pretty good about this, I get accused all the time of, you only listen to MSNBC. Well, first of all, that is not true. I almost never listen to MSNBC. But I don't think either of us have ever been accurately accused of siloing our sources of information. I get accused of it all the time, but it's not true. I watch OAN regularly. And it's not just for the commercials that are fucking hilarious.
It's literally like the only reason to watch it.
Yeah, that's fair.
The advertising is amazing.
I want to know.
You could probably do a study on the advertising as to why, what is there and everything else. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think it's important to hear what's getting said. And I would say, if I only watched OAN, I would probably think some pretty zany shit. Because they go balls to the wall. I mean, Mike Lindell was literally, you know, doing his... And this county had 160% of their votes put into, you know, what do they call it when they, not triage, when they look at a vote, and when a vote is unclear, so it has to go through the authentication process. He was claiming like 90% of the votes in Georgia were given to a person who got to decide what they think the vote should be. Like, okay, you clearly have no idea how elections work.
I mean, if
I articulated that badly.
Here's the funny thing, though. Like, everything that they're pissed off about and complaining about, you can literally say the same thing for the 2016 election, right? Or you know, the 2015, like, in terms of some of the counties that Trump won, that people are like, oh, no, but that doesn't make sense. This is normally a Democratic county, and he only won by so many in this county, right? Like, and there were a lot of things that, you know, whether you could say to Hillary Clinton's credit or not, you know, should she have fought harder? Should she have pushed back and challenged some of this stuff more? I don't know. I think no, right? Like, you lost.
I do not dispute the Electoral College election.
I don't. Like, not in her case, not in this case with Trump. I think, yeah, were there some irregularities? Yeah, but irregularities happen, right? Like, right. I mean, if there's not, then there's an issue, right? Like, that's how you get change. That's how states change colors, right? Like, sure. That's how a state goes from, you know, blue to red, right?
There's like, say,
blue,
Ohio?
Right. Like, I mean, it's blue, and then it's purple, and then it's red, right? It's red, and then it's purple, and then it's blue. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens fast. Sometimes it happens slow over time, right? Like, people have been predicting that Texas was going to turn blue, but in reality, it's a very slow-paced thing that's coming. And the reasons for Texas turning blue are simple, right? You've got people from progressive left-wing states that are leaving these states because they're being overtaxed, right? And they're going to Texas. But those people, they're like, listen, we've got a ton of money. We don't want to spend it all getting taxed to shit. Texas doesn't even have a state tax, so I'm going to go there. And I'm going to take my progressive views and thoughts with me. I love transgender people. I love vegan food. I don't like guns. And I drive an electric car. So I'm going to take all that shit, and I'm going to go to Texas. And I'm going to vote, right? And that slowly changes the vote. As you get more and more of those people, that slowly, over time, changes the vote. And that's how a state goes from red to purple to blue, right? Like, so these irregularities that they want to call fraud and everything because it didn't happen for Trump... It could be that over the last 5 years, the guy that you had running for president was a complete asshole, and he didn't care, right? Like, and the thing that you loved about him, right, that he didn't have a filter, and he said all the things that you wanted to say, and he told it like it was, and he was all for X, Y, and Z, and against blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe how it really got half of you super-duper excited, maybe the other half of the people weren't so excited about it, right? So maybe it got people to do something that they didn't normally do, and that's called vote, right? And so what happened was when you had people who voted that you don't that you can always count on not voting, right, it throws the numbers off. It is irregular, right? Because he was that much of a guy... He was that much of a character that worked people up so much that he did bring them to the polls. He did mobilize people, except for he didn't mobilize them for himself, right? People couldn't stand this guy to the point where they said, fuck it, I may not like Joe Biden, but it's the same thing they said about Hillary, right? Like, I'm going to vote against Trump, right? Even if it means voting possibly against my interest, I'm going to vote for someone else just to get rid of that guy and his nonsense. And they did.
And validating your point, the election did not go great for Democrats at all.
No.
In fact, they got their asses kicked in places where there was supposed to be this big blue wave. There was not.
Right.
They lost Trump.
Democrats lost ground in Congress. They did make up ground in the Senate. It wasn't a huge wave, but like, they got control of the Senate barely by the skin of a dick. But they did it, but not in the numbers that you would think. With a guy like Trump, right? But the idea that there was fraud also doesn't make sense, right? Because Trump lost, but yet Republicans won in a lot of these different places, like in Georgia and places down in South, like in Texas and Michigan and Wisconsin and stuff like that, right? And so it's just like, so you think that the like the like this whole voter fraud thing was so advanced that you could, you know, like they switched votes for Trump but didn't switch votes for Congress and for Senate, right? Like it just like that's not what happened. There wasn't fraud. It's just that your guy was a fucking asshole and people voted against him and said, I can vote against him but still vote for Republicans into Congress or Senate.
One of the things a bunch of people have come at me on, I've allowed myself to get into Facebook fights about this way too much.
Stop that.
It's on me.
Stop
that. But I couldn't help myself, and then whatever. But one thing that people come at me and said, well, you really believe that he got that Biden got more black votes than Obama did? Yeah, I do. Because Biden was running against a guy who flat out encouraged racism. Whether you want to call Trump a racist or not, people who were racists felt like, this guy's my guy, and they were very vocal about it. So talk about mobilizing people. I know lots of people who would not have normally voted who did this time because they wanted this guy out, and I think that is definitely true amongst black voters. If I'm misrepresenting, please let me know. But one thing we have to worry about is, so we got to talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has basically picked up the ball that Trump dropped and run with it. And she's spewing ridiculous stuff. I've heard that she said that the fires in California were caused by a Jewish laser. I have not heard her say those words, so I'm not going to attribute that to her. But that's among the many crazy things that she has been accused of saying. I'm comfortable saying that is not the cause of California fires. You didn't hear that one?
No, I heard it. It's just that, Jim, every time like these people talk, the only thing I could think of is literally the plot from G.I. Joe. Like the plot from G.I. Joe, the cartoon, you know, in the 80s. When I was a kid, like, all this shit that they bring up are literally, like, plots from that show. Anyway.
All right, yeah. I did not know so you were going to go there.
Giant laser from space shooting down and causing fires.
What's funny is Cobra Commander had to get replaced because he was a buffoon, and that's kind of what happened here. So, anyway, I've got some very serious concerns about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, not politically, obviously, I do have those, and she's been removed from all of her committees, and she fucking deserves it. You can't click like on things talking about murdering the Speaker of the House and be well respected in the House. And again, it was just a like. She's saying, oh, that wasn't necessarily me. Whatever. You're responsible for your actions. And so one other thing I want to say about her is she didn't get elected in spite of all this shit. She got elected because of it.
Yes.
So she is definitely grabbing the ball from Trump and running with it. And I really want to caution the MSNBCs and the CNNs not to turn her into the AOC of the right.
Right.
If they start bringing her up every fucking week.
Yeah.
Because AOC was there. The right couldn't go, damn it, the White House is terrible, because they had their guy there.
Yeah.
So they found a freshman congresswoman and said, we're going to make it sound like the entire Democratic Party is right behind this extraordinarily progressive person. I don't dislike AOC. The certain things I don't like about her policies. A lot of things I do. But putting her out there as the mantle of the Democrats was a bullshit way to keep your news channel relevant.
But they amplified her signal. They boosted her signal a ton and really gave her more power than they ever intended.
Sure.
Right?
Well, I don't know if it's unintentional. I think they needed a bad guy and they created a foil.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is that now, like, with that, though, comes, like, political power that works against their interests, right? So, and whether the networks don't necessarily care, but the people who bought into it, who said, yeah, she's the worst, she's the worst, she's the devil, where the problem is it's like the more you do that, the more you empower her. And now she, like, she's seriously making a thought about, you know, challenging
Schumer.
For Chuck Schumer's seat. So, I mean, and that's because, again, her signal has been amplified to the point where that may be a real possibility, right? And I mean, her versus Chuck Schumer, that could get ugly.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because like if I'm in New York, like
you're voting for AOC.
I may, and I'm not a fan of hers, right?
Right. But you hate Chuck Schumer.
But I can't stand fucking Chuck. I can't stand fucking. I hate fucking that guy. so dry and awful.
There's a review brought to you by
brought to you by Vaseline.
Oh my god!
I'm not a fan of hers. Although I did think it was unfair what happened to her this week. She caught a lot of heat over, you know, she talked about her experience on January 6th. While people were invading Congress, the Capitol building. And, you know, people are like, well, you weren't even in the Capitol building. So, you know, it's bullshit. Like, listen, she was in a building that's fucking attached to the Capitol building. There was a reliable threat to that building, and she was scared. She's a fucking 120-pound woman, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Locked in a room with another woman, like...
People who want to kill her.
With people who may want to fucking cause her harm at minimum, if not fucking murder her. So, like, everything she felt is valid. To say that, well, she wasn't in the Capitol building specifically. She was in the building. She was in the building connected to it. I'm
surrounded by these people.
You know what I mean? Like, if I put you... You know, if you're in your office at work and there's a fucking active shooter in the building, but you're in the fucking maintenance building across the street, listen, you could still be in danger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, so the idea that, well, she wasn't in that building specifically is ridiculous. You know, all things considered, and listen, there was a mob of you know, thousands of people. So at any point in time, you know, they could have turned their sights on any and everything attached in that area, and the Capitol Police weren't doing anything, you know, as been well documented, except for a very select few. Who have also been documented. So, the threat to her was real. She doesn't need to validate her experience to anyone. And I thought the way the people came after her about that was complete bullshit. You know, going back to Marjorie Taylor Greene, look, man, I told you before the show, I think the biggest thing to talk about with her this week is the fact that she's been removed from all committees.
Yep.
And she no longer has a voice. Now, her move is going to be, oh, they silenced the voters. They took me away, and the voters voted me in. Yeah, they did. The voters made their choice in putting you in, and a big part of you getting in, the reason why, was you took your mantle from Trump and decided that you were going to be the most, you know, the most boisterous person you could be.
The Trumpiest Trumpster right? out
and,
there.
And, okay, that's fine, but understand that that comes with consequences, right?
Sure.
This whole thing... about First Amendment, free speech, everything else, doesn't mean that it doesn't come without consequences. And the consequence is you don't have a right to be on a committee, right? Even though you were voted into Congress, you don't have a right to be, right? It is an honor and a privilege to be a congressperson and to represent the people, and you need to do that appropriately. You have not done it. You know how you haven't done it? You have suggested, liked, been associated with things like killing other members of Congress.
9/11 was a false flag.
Saying 9/11 was a false flag, making fun of kids who were involved in a fucking school shooting,
right.
Saying awful, terrible things to kids that are underage that experienced something so fucking brutal and awful that it should only be seen in war, and you have been called to task for that, right? Like you made that bed and now you're forced to lie in it, so. I don't have any sympathy for you. I'm also not going to amplify you. I'm going to point out the fact that you've been removed from all committees. You hold no power. And your only hope is to continue to talk and run your mouth and say ridiculous things to get attention so that once your term is up, that you could run for something else based off your popularity for being ridiculous. So what I'm not going to do is amplify the bullshit that you say. We're not doing it on this show. You know, I'm just putting my foot down and just saying, we're not going to amplify her message at all. So I don't care what she said, how ridiculous it is and everything else. Yeah, it needs to be repudiated. So I'm going to do a blanket repudiation of pretty much everything that this woman says. And that's the end of it. Fuck her.
And, you know, it's really a snapshot on the state of the Republican
Party.
With no Vaseline, from
our non-sponsor.
The fact that Liz Cheney, who I am no fan of, is getting harangued in the Senate, and she was getting got a round of applause for her concession speech where she said, oh, I really didn't mean all that shit. Fuck you. You said it. Now it's hurting you. Deal with it. There's responsibilities that come with being in Congress. Now, we're both being a little pie in the sky because a lot of these folks are just fucking con artists, but...
How am I being pie in the sky?
Saying that they're there to represent the people. They're there to represent themselves and their special interests.
Listen,
that's
on
the job description.
Going by what the job description says.
Okay.
Right? Like, everyone who gets there, that's their responsibility.
Right.
What they do when they get there is always different, right? There are very select few who fight for what they're supposed to fight for. I get it. But, I mean, the job description is this. And when you color so far outside of the lines, well, there are fucking consequences for those actions. Sorry.
I agree. Fuck her. Unless she literally releases a sex tape. We're not talking about her again.
True that. I'm always down to talk about sex tapes.
I know. And so you sent me an article about a woman who was sort of sucked into the QAnon thing and then got out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting article. Basically, I want to say she was in Georgia. She's a mother of a four-year-old. And I think Georgia. She was working in a factory, lost her job, started spending a whole bunch of time on TikTok, was getting her news from TikTok, and got completely sucked into the whole QAnon. There's, you know, communists coming to take over, and if you vote for Biden, we'll be a communist country on Tuesday.
She thoroughly believed that Trump, like, even after the election where he lost, she believed that, you know, on the day of the inauguration, Trump was going to retake power. There was going to be a giant reckoning. Multiple people from the deep state were going to be arrested and basically tried, like the Nuremberg trials.
Thrown into Gitmo.
Thrown into Gitmo, and that Trump was going to be president again. And, like, there was going to be, like, this kind of giant climax of, you know, Trump's power. And then it didn't happen, and literally her world collapsed.
Yeah.
You know, and meantime, while she's getting caught up in this, she points out, like, you know, they talk about how her daughter, like, she basically neglected her daughter, and her daughter who's not even, you know, in first grade is worried about her mom. And this woman's own mother is just like, listen, I know you're expecting this big bang during the inauguration, but, like, they just, it's a normal transfer of, you know, normal peaceful transfer of power. This is what's supposed to happen. This is what has happened every time, you know, 40 plus times in the history of our country. This is a good thing. Sorry, you got bamboozled. Now snap out of it and, you know, let's come back to reality, which is a very hard thing for this woman to expect. Now, I do believe that this woman's doing a little bit of a, like, she's going to try to use this to sort of trampoline herself into the fray to talk and, you know,
okay,
we may end up, I'm sure she thinks that this is going to blow up into a show on Newsmax or something like that. And if it does, great. But I mean, I think that there's a little bit of ulterior motives here, based off of some of the things she said, the article, I believe we tweeted out. So, if you want to scroll our Twitter feed and check that out, you can. I thought it was interesting. I think there are a number of people like her who maybe aren't willing to come out and say quite as explicitly that they were bamboozled, but they know that, fuck, man, I really got sucked into this and a lot of it was hype and bullshit. Whether, like, and now listen, they may still be completely against Joe Biden and the Democrats and all that other stuff, which is fine, you know, which is good, right? Like, that's what keeps our political leaders in check. They're people who didn't vote for them, people who don't believe in their thing, and who, you know, will usher in the next leader or leaders into government. That's fine. It's just when you go so far into the wacky end of the pool, and then you snap out of it, now you have to completely reevaluate, like, your whole... you know, your whole process, right?
I mean, I had to deal with this with myself and religion. And you know, we've talked about that specifically on the show, you know, as an exclusive topic. But I kind of had my mind go through here's what I believed all my life. And now I took a step back and went, okay, I still believe some of this, but boy, my belief that if I eat a hot dog on a Friday during Lent, I'm committing an act equivalent to murder is pretty fucking nutty.
Yeah.
And I don't think I really was quite that nutty, but you get the point.
Right.
So the whole, I mean, the Trump crew is a cult. I have no trouble calling it that.
Yeah. You know what? I how I feel about labeling. I feel like it doesn't, you know, like, yeah, you're not wrong. I hate the labeling. So, but what I will say is you're gonna have a lot of these people, and I think whether it's Biden, Democrats, you know, your CNNs and MSNBCs, you think about how we're gonna deal with these people, right? I mean, on the one hand, there could be the complete ostracizing them, right? You can do that, but the reality is that, like, listen, if we can get them back.
Yeah.
To reality. I don't necessarily need them to vote for who I, you know, we don't need to control who they vote for, but just, like, listen, so you experienced that. That was crazy, all right? Like, so now you know what to look for. So when you see that, you need to kind of be able, you need to be willing to speak out against it. Vote for whoever the fuck you want to vote for, but let's keep a little bit of sanity this time around.
And just calling them stupid is not an effective way
to get them. It's not an effective, right. Like, that's what I mean. Like, let's not look at this woman and just, like, see, this fucking dipshit. No. It's like, all right, glad you came back. And do whatever you want to do, but let's prevent that from happening again by speaking out against it, right? Like, and then being honest about the lies that you believe, the lies that you were told, what you bought into, why and how. Like, you got sucked in by your emotions. You were pissed that you lost your job. You wanted to blame someone. They gave you someone to blame. They gave you someone to believe in who you thought could help you. But in the end, that none of it came true, right? Like, right. The boogeyman wasn't real. The savior wasn't real. And guess what? You're left on your own, and you still don't have a job. And now you look like a buffoon. So right. How do you prevent other people from experiencing that? Is the big question, right? I mean, and the other reality is like, look, you've also got the people who were leading you, right, who decided that they were going to go to D.C. on January 6th, and they crashed through the doors and they made videos of themselves saying, hey, we're taking over. Look what we did. I'm taking this from Nancy Pelosi's office. Hey, I've got my scepter and I'm in the rotunda. And now they're in jail. And now they have bailed on you. They have bailed on everything that they said. They're willing to testify against whoever to get themselves out of trouble. The whole house of cards is coming down, and that's who you believed in. Those are your leaders. And your boy Trump, he didn't do a single thing for a single person who did a thing on that day. Not one thing. He didn't think about pardoning, not a single one. They weren't on the list. They weren't even considered. He got on a plane. He flew down to Florida. He went and he played golf while those people are still sitting in jail right now.
Which is where they fucking belong, by the way.
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, we had this conversation, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And I floated the idea, should Biden pardon Trump? And you basically said, no, you fucking idiot, without saying those exact words.
I might have.
Well, no, you said no. And I had my logic for asking the question and for supporting that idea. That while I backtracked that day and meant it, now I'm completely foot on the gas, go after the guy. Because his unwillingness to try to do anything to help the greater cause of America, because he lost an election and it's not fair and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's going to be a trial next week. He's not going to testify. Not surprised at all.
And I wouldn't want him to testify. There's no way I would put him on the stand. I'm like, why? Like, stop this.
I mean, when you're a guy who has had trouble sticking with the truth at times in your life, I think that's a fair statement. In fact, a major understatement.
No, I mean, it just from the Democrat, like, you don't want him on the stand, right? Like, whether he tells the truth or not, like, he's probably going to lie. Or maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just be honest. He'll tell whatever his version of the truth is. And most of us with common sense will look at it sideways. But that's not, like, my issue isn't whether he's going to tell the truth or not. My issue is that we know what he's going to do. He is going to turn it into a bully pulpit for him to say whatever he wants to say. And he's going to dominate. And there's no one that's going to check him. There's no one that is going to be able to out-Trump him.
Right.
Right. So he's going to dominate that. You're not going to get out of it what you want. And what it will do is empower those people that are going to, you know, not vote to acquit him, essentially, right? Like, it'll empower them to do that. They'll be like, well, you saw what he said. This guy's strong. Obviously, everything he says is true. I vote to acquit, right? Like, so you need to leave him out of the picture, and you need to keep him quiet on the sideline, right? And then while you advance the notion of, like, the idea, you have to basically reignite the fire of January 6th. We need video. We need audio. We need pictures. You have to get people re-engaged emotionally into what happened that day, right? Now, mind you, this isn't a criminal trial,
right?
Right. We're not dealing with the same rules of evidence. We're not dealing with the same procedures. We're dealing with something completely different. This is a political process, right? That feels like a legal proceeding, but it's really not. It's different. So yes, I'm saying things like, you want to evoke emotion. You need to evoke real, legitimate patriotism. And you need to be able to draw connections between the things that Trump said and did with the actions of those who sought to disrupt, right?
Yeah,
a peaceful transfer of power, right? A congressional process, something that's happened without incident for over, hundreds of years, essentially, right? Yep. And that's what you have to do to this. And then you do that to the best of your ability, knowing that you're going into a rigged situation, right, where you've got you need 17 Republicans to come to your side. You don't have the numbers. You're going into a bad situation, but you need to put on the best possible case that you can. You need to make it fast, and you need to make it succinct, and you need to make it powerful so that, because you know they're not, the Republicans aren't going to do what they're supposed to do. But you need to make sure that you could put it out there and say, listen, we gave you everything you needed to do to repudiate this man and to repudiate what he stands for. Right? And not only should we be holding him accountable, but Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and Lindsey Graham and all of them should be on trial with him, not only to be removed from office, but never to be allowed to run again, to prevent what happened on January 6th and leading up to it from ever happening again, to save and preserve our democracy. And if you are not willing to do that, you need to be counted right now so that when our democracy falls, we can look back and we can say, this is your fault. You had a chance to stop it and you didn't, because you are a coward. And that is the whole purpose of this proceeding. Now, I'm a little bit pissed off because the Democrats have already been outmaneuvered, right? Because this should have already began, right? But Mitch McConnell, being the that wily fucking coyote that he is, he knew exactly what he was doing, right? He knew what he was doing when he said, well, we're going to be out of session, so it's got to wait, right? He knew it, and he knew it, and he did it, and Chuck Schumer.
There's been a lot of finger jabbing during this conversation. Because we're
none of those fingers have made contact with you.
None have made contact.
There's been good distance between us.
We are a safe distance apart.
I have not fingered you at all.
Okay,
that's during this, putting, a, during this
putting
show.
An image out there that we don't need to go further with. Does he have to be there? I don't know.
Who?
Trump. Does he have to be there? Can they do it in absentia? Nope. I also want to say in devotion to fairness.
Gee, use an SAT word. Absentia.
Absentia. In fairness, we have seen an impeached president in his trial lie on the stand and get away with it, using one of my favorite defenses ever, the Bill Clinton, it depends on what your definition of is. So, yeah, he can get up there, lie, and get away with it. We've seen it. I don't know. The trial is going to be a circus, and I agree with you completely that, you know, any thoughts of, okay, it's over, let's play nice. Yeah, we can play nice, but we're not forgetting.
Nope, we don't even need to play nice. I mean, I wouldn't play nice with Ted Cruz. I wouldn't play nice with Josh Hawley, Kevin McCarthy, Lindsey Graham. Anything they bring to me, it's dead in the water. I don't care. Like, I'm not reaching across the aisle to shake hands with them. I'm not reaching across the aisle to do anything with anything that they bring to me. Even if it's the most sensible thing in the world, they can hand it off to somebody else and let somebody else bring it.
Well, Lindsey Graham is kind of hilarious to me because...
You just said Lily.
Did I say Lily?
Yeah.
Oops. Freud. Lindsey Graham is hilarious to me because his pushback is, you better not call witnesses. If you do, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And we're going to find out this was put in place days before Trump's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go for it.
Okay.
You're going to help us find the truth?
Right, like, if you think that these, like, plans being made prior to January 6th helps Trump, okay.
Where did he go to law school? Lawyers have been taking... If the Trump administration has made law degrees look really fucking bad.
Jim.
Sorry? Don't get angry with me.
No. There's no anger at you. Look, man. I sent you an article, right? I sent it to a few people. I read this article. It was from Axios.
Oh, yes.
And it talks about the days...
Sidney Powell.
Yeah. The days leading up to... it's a snapshot of a day and a night where, you've got Trump and members of his team trying to figure out kind of what the next move is. This is, I think, right before Christmas, a couple weeks before January 6th. And it was one of the wildest things I've ever read. As it relates to politics and as it relates to, you know, a president. And, you know, it's not so much Trump, but it's the other people in the room, Sidney Powell, Mike Flynn, Rudy Giuliani, and just the way this conversation went down in terms of, you know, kind of what their next move was, You know, Mike Flynn, Sidney Powell, they're fighting for power, telling Trump that he needs to shut everything down. They wanted to give Sidney Powell special access to be a special prosecutor and give her, you know, access to the Department of Justice. Like, it was crazy. And there was one guy that I didn't know, I hadn't heard of before, Hirschman. And he, like, literally is, like, this guy is an American hero. Right, and the reason why I say it is that he fought, like, he was fighting a battle in this article from all sides. I mean, if this was an Avengers movie, he was Tony Stark, right? I mean, he had everything coming at him, and he handled it brilliantly the way this article went down, right? And I don't know if he is the person who leaked it, so he made himself seem like a superhero, which I wouldn't necessarily...
I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, but it's on Axios. I'll retweet it out. And okay. If you go
to, but there's some gems in there that need to be brought up, including him saying to someone, "Do you even know who I am?" And the guy says, "Yeah, you're," and I forget who he misidentified him as, who was the guy standing right next to him. The response was, "No, you fucking idiot."
Right. I mean, like, at one point in time, General Mike Flynn is yelling at this guy, telling him to not talk about his all this other
you're
stuff.
You're not loyal. You're not.
Right. And this Hirschman guy literally tells him, like, "Stop yelling at me. Either come over here and fight me or sit your ass down." And Mike Flynn sits down.
Sat his ass down.
Right? Mike Flynn was a fucking general in the U.S. Army, and he set his ass down. Like, this thing was fucking wild. To me, it was terrifying, because this is the White House. It happened in the Oval Office. This is the President of the United States. Oh my God, what the fuck is going on that this is where we are? But then on the other hand, it's also like, if you took the White House away from it, how serious it was, how scary it would have been if these people had won and got their way and Trump, you know, signed off on all of it. Who knows where we would be right now? But if you take all that away and just read it for entertainment value.
Oh, it was great.
I read it twice. I read it at work. People were looking at me trying to figure out what I was laughing at. And people literally walked into my office and I gave them the go away finger, right? Like, just get out. I'm not talking to you. I'm in the middle of something right now that I it's not work related, go away. But we'll put it back out there. I'll actually pin it to our thing so you could read it.
Good call.
But it was just, you got to read it. And that just kind of gives you a glimpse as to what the fuck was going on in the White House and why some of us said, listen, this guy is not the guy when it comes to Trump, right? Like, we got to move on. I know, you know, middle class, Midwestern white guy, you're really mad at all the brown people getting all the stuff. And you think that Trump's your guy. He's not your guy. Right? Like, he's not your guy. Like, I know you got to fight for your thing. You fight for your thing, but you don't want him to be your leader because he doesn't have the juice you think he does.
The other great points in that from that were Trump getting up and walking out of the meeting at one point, which I found hilarious. I've been in some heated meetings.
So, and someone, reading that, I'm like, where the fuck did he go? Where is he going?
Went to the dining room.
Like, go sit down. What are you doing? You know, I mean, it's just so, all of it is just bizarre.
I've been to some heated meetings. I can just not imagine, like...
The part when he hangs up on everybody.
Yeah, okay. All right. Our teasers are out there. Retweet the article. Read it. It's great.
So moving on. So you got Lou Dobbs. Lou Dobbs has had a show on Fox forever. He was a political commentator. He's a guy Seth MacFarlane has made fun of on Family Guy a number of times. But Fox fired him. Canceled his show, fired him. He is no longer with the network. I think he will probably end up on OAN or Newsmax within the near future.
Well, he's still under contract with Fox. So they basically just said, go sit down, dope. And I think a big part of it, a big driving force, is he's being sued. He's not giving up on the whole voting machines thing.
So is Fox.
Right. But I think Fox is tired of getting sued, period. They've paid so much in lawsuits between Bill O'Reilly's inability to control his dick.
Here's the real deal. Not that what you weren't saying was real or accurate, but... Fox is getting sued. Lou Dobbs is getting sued. Sean Hannity is getting sued, right? Like, so you got Fox being sued, but then separately, individually, you know, Lou Dobbs, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, like they're...
I think Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani.
Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani are all also getting sued in multi-million, billion-dollar lawsuits. Yeah,
I think it's $1.3 billion.
Like multiple lawsuits... Right, from Dominion and another company, SmartTech, right? Like, there's two companies, both. And listen, the reality is, and the reason why I think Fox does this is because they're like, oh, shit, right? Like, you remember that Nick Sandman kid? The kid from Kentucky who had that smirk on his face and the whole thing with the Native American guy. He had this most punchable face. And everyone said that he and his boy started this thing and it was the Indian guy. And so whatever. So that kid sued. And I thought, this isn't going to go anywhere. Well, all of that, he ended up settling for a massive amount. We don't know how much was disclosed. It was never disclosed. We don't know for how much. But couple of these networks, Washington Post, CNN, they settled with him because the case did not look good, right? Now, people will say, oh, it was just a settlement, so they're not admitting guilt. Okay, fine.
Right.
But listen, when you are in their shoes, you settle situations that you don't want to go to court because you don't have a great feeling that this is going to go well for you. Even if you win, it may expose some things, right? Because now you're talking about discovery, and it's just like, let's see it all. Never a good thing, right? So they shut it down early. They settled with him.
Yeah.
Now, that was, hey, this kid's got a punchable face and he started a fight, right? This was your voting machines changed votes in a national election, creating fraud, and our president should use martial law based off of your shitty machines.
Slightly different stakes.
Right? Slightly different stakes, right? With just mountains of evidence between all of these people saying this stuff, saying that they had proof of X, Y, and Z fraud based off of these machines, and they don't have the proof. There's no way to
prove it. According to Mike Lindell, it's been proven, and I've seen it. It's connected to the internet. Why would you connect to the internet, Steve, if you were letting the foreign governments take it over?
Okay, you're literally about to get this pint glass thrown in your face. So you don't have the proof. You don't have anything to prove. So sorry, you can't do that based on based off of our legal system, right? So now Fox is like, fuck. This can't go to trial, right? Like we got to do something. So now Fox, they're trimming the fat.
Yeah.
Right. They're trimming the fat, and it's just like, hey Lou, you still talking about that? You're done. You're done, right? You're done, right? Like you're gonna fight this thing on your own. Just go away, right? And they're trying to really, you know, circle the wagons and all that other stuff. And Lou Dobbs is now sitting out there, like you said, he's under contract, so they benched him. I would release him from his contract. I'd be like, you can go do whatever you want.
So do you think if you let him, if you turn him loose, I agree with you, he probably ends up at Newsmax or something like that. Does that take the heat off Fox from a legal perspective?
No. If he's
under contract? Okay. See, because
it's the evidence is already there, right? Like, sure. I mean, look, it's already there. I think they're cutting ties with him because they don't want to do any further damage, right? Like you have been sued. It's been filed, right? It's in district court. So now you don't need, like, you know, because if I'm either one of those companies, Dominion or whatever, now you're just sitting there, recording. Fox is just you set your DVR to Fox News and you just record.
You were a Sopranos guy.
Yep.
This is kind of like when Tony Soprano kills Steve Buscemi, his cousin, because he doesn't want him to do any more damage and tries to turn it into, look, it's all good now.
Okay, you brought it around. So you're actually not wrong. Similar.
So, the reaction I was watching was great before I...
Yeah,
But you see what I'm saying? No, it's okay.
All right.
Okay, it's cleaned up. We're good now, right? No, we're not good.
I don't think... Fox knows that it's not good, but like it's like, all right, we already have a shithole to dig ourselves out of. We are not going to allow you to pile more shit on top of it. Since you're not going to cool it, then you got to go, right? And I figured they probably weren't paying Lou Dobbs. They're not too worried about Lou Dobbs. His show, I'm sure his
ratings, he was like one of the best rated shows on Fox Business.
Okay, well then, you know, but I mean, it's also Fox Business, and what does that mean?
Right.
Where, because they haven't axed Hannity, right? And so I think...
They can't.
And, right, like, his contract is probably brutal for them to ax him, and he's, like, I know Fox's ratings have plummeted, and as have his, but it's still probably worth keeping him around.
I think...
So they're probably trying to get him to cool it, right? Like, listen, just turn all your guns on Joe Biden... Fine, but you got to cool it with this fraud shit. You got to cool it with this election shit. You got to move on.
I think with Hannity, if they were to cut Hannity, that would be the waving the white flag of surrender so blatantly that they might as well not exist anymore. Which, by the way, I fucking hate Fox News for what they've done. But
I mean, if they want to bury themselves, that's fine. I don't believe in censoring them and shutting them down or whatever. If they want to slit their own throats, then fine. Go ahead. Here's a razor blade.
Right. I don't know what I will consume to celebrate Sean Hannity being bounced, if it ever happens, but it'll be something. But it will not happen. All right, so last week we talked a lot about the GameStop situation, and it's pretty much died down, I think. So the stock has fallen
70%? 87%.
Okay.
I'm going to tell a little story about this. So I had a guy, buddy of mine at the gym, who... doesn't know a ton about stocks or whatever, but saw it and jumped in. Now, I had gone on social media and kind of gave people a warning, like, hey, I know it seems really juicy, but like I said on the show, this is a house of cards. These guys are not going to keep their money in it. This is a political play. It's a quick moneymaker for them. It's coordinated, and they're going to move on, right? They're like the aliens in Independence Day, right? Like, they suck up all the resources, and they move on to the next thing.
Right.
I would not throw money into this because you don't know when they're going to pull it. And if you're not on top of it, you're going to lose a lot of money or all the money that you invested in. Depending on how it went down, you could lose more than that. So just be careful. And this person did not heed that warning. Whether they saw it or not, I don't know. And they kind of reached out to me like, hey, I have lost a lot of money. Everything that I've invested and then some, what do I do? It's like, well, you learn a pretty hard lesson about, kind of jumping in with the trend. I get it. Like, you got it. This was all about emotion, and you saw dollar signs, and you wanted to fuck the man and everything else. And, you let your little progressive heart, blind you to fucking common sense. And you paid a price.
As Mark and Ben would say, you're paying your tuition. You've learned something.
Yeah, I use that on him. Had a long back and forth text conversation. I'm just like, listen, it's a hard lesson that anyone who has invested has had to learn. I'm like, you are not in a position to be investing, right? He's a guy, he's still in school. It's the college kid struggle, right? Okay. And I'm like, I'm not trying to kill your dreams, right? But you're not in the finance. You're not a market investor, right? Like, you're kind of picking this up because it seems cool. It's in the news right now. But the reality is you don't know shit about the market. You don't know anything about it. Anything you've learned, you probably gleaned off of Google in the last couple of weeks. And for you to try to jump in on something that was not something that happened organically over the last week. This is something that has been in motion for months, right? This was a very strategic strike that these guys pulled off that you weren't a part of, and you tried to jump in and you got fucking burned. And a lot of people did, including Robinhood, right?
Right.
And Robinhood,
I was gonna ask you if you knew what service he used.
And so Robinhood got burned because, Robinhood literally didn't have the money to cover. Right.
And they shut down trades on that stock.
They shut it down because they didn't have the money to cover it. That's why they shut it down. Right. Because people were just throwing money at it and pulling it out. And they didn't they just didn't have the money to support it. And if it continued to go. Now, there were also other really shitty reasons, is that they got pressure, from the big hedge funds, right, and from allegedly the White House, maybe to shut it down and other, government entities. They didn't have they didn't have the money to cover the bets, so they had to stop the betting essentially. It was a really bad look. They shouldn't have done it. I think the SEC hopefully will do the right thing and come down on them harshly. But a lot of people bitched about it, and they had every right to.
Right. Well, a lot of people trashed their app and gave it one star, Google, I have heard, and I don't think this is even being disputed, Google wiped out over 100,000 one-star ratings for Robinhood, to which I'm not anti-big tech. I do think we need to keep it under control. I'm a Facebook fan. I'm a Mark Zuckerberg fan. I get why people don't like him. I do. But for them to scrub their rating system that people rely on is a bullshit move. And I've said it a bunch of times, it's their platform. They can do what they want, but they need to be exposed and called out for it. Because people like me look at Google reviews, and I choose things based on, how many stars they get.
They know that.
They do know that.
Yep.
And I've heard rumors that Google likes to collect information and try to promote.
Sure do. We sure do.
I know. But it's this is something where they are slanting the view towards a company because of I assume, some economic or political pressure, and I think that's a shitty thing for Google to do.
And they're going to come up with some reason like, oh, well, I mean, we do this every so often and blah, blah, blah. And when you get so much
overreaction,
counterbalance, okay, that's fine. But you let that shit ride. No, again, it's their platform. So, okay, you know, I can't tell you what to do, but it makes you look bad. Now, the reality is that Google is going to do... Like Google, Twitter, Facebook, they love to tell you how they're there for the little guy. But the reality is
they
that
they are not,
right? Like Google, like Twitter. Twitter suppresses our feed, right? Like we are, and they do it intentionally, right? Because they say, well, we don't consider you to be a big enough of an influence on our platform, so we are going to suppress the access and who can see what you put out, right? Like, so we have, you know, 3,000 followers that follow us, but Twitter makes it so that about 10% of the people that actually follow us see what we see, right? Through algorithms and everything else, right? Like, so whatever we put out there, like, there's, of all the people who follow us, there's a fraction of the people who actually see what we put out there, right? And the only way to boost that signal is we would have to gain a lot of we would have to put something out there that picked up so much firepower and so much momentum that a number of people, and then it would boost that particular thing to a broader audience, and then as it picked up momentum, it would be boosted out to more and more people, right? So they won't go in and automatically suppress it, but like if I tweet something out, then the algorithms in Twitter will just like, well, only this many people are going to see it. Right, but then somehow, if other people comment on it and they like it and they retweet it and they retweet it with a quote and all that other stuff, then those little incremental things allow it to kind of expand on the network. It's the same thing on Instagram. It's also the same thing on Facebook. If you've got, you know, an open platform and everything else, Google is very similar in the way their reviews work. So these smaller companies, smaller podcasts, things like that, it is very hard, and they do this on purpose, it is very hard to grow your following. And that's why there are different companies with SEO that specialize in boosting your signal for you. And it takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and a lot of money. So if you are a famous person, right, that's well known, right? Like, then all of a sudden it takes a person, like if you're a person, like, let's say Dave Chappelle,
sure. Right?
Dave Chappelle, let's say he wasn't on Twitter, but he decided that he was gonna get on Twitter. It would not take him long at all, right? To go from zero followers to 5 million followers,
yeah.
Right? Like it would happen instantly overnight because of who he is and because of his fame and everything else, right? You and I do it, and we got to do all this sort of shit to get it out there, right? Boom, 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 3,000 followers, right? Over a number of years. And that's how social media works. So these companies, they know what they're doing. And this whole thing that they're out there for everybody and they want the little guy to succeed is a bunch of bullshit, right? Knowing that you and I know it going in, I think I have a little bit better understanding of it than you do, and it's not an offense or anything, whatever. But understanding how that works. So when I see Google erasing one-star reviews for Robinhood, I'm not surprised, right? I'm not surprised. I know that they're going to put out a bullshit reason, and it's going to look very good, and you're going to be like, it's going to be a reasonable argument, but it's going to be bullshit, and they're going to do it again, right? They're going to do it again. Like, there's going to be another situation where they're going to do it again, and they're going to try to talk their way out of it, and I think all you can do is call them out and try to hold them to some account, but... At the end of the day, we need them.
I can't boycott Google. My phone is a Google phone. I mean, yeah, I use their search engine all the damn time.
Two companies that I won't and can't boycott
are Apple
and Google.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm just too... I am admittedly a slave to Apple. The only thing I haven't converted yet is my laptop.
Right.
And that's only because I just don't want to spend $1,500 on it. But now I am literally kicking myself in the dick because I bought three laptops at $500 a pop. And now it's just like, I should have just bought the fucking $1,200
MacBook.
You know, I should have bought the $1,100 MacBook when I was going through all this the first time, right? Probably saved myself some money and the thing would be running fine and blah, 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 blah. But I'm just too integrated in. I mean, just the shit with our show, my stuff for work, my personal stuff, everything, right. just my complete refusal to learn another cellular phone platform, right? And people are like, oh, it's not hard. You figured out Apple. Yeah, I'm not doing that again. I don't care. I don't care if it sounds petty or childish. Like, you can sit there, you can call me childish, you can say I need to be an adult, fuck you, I'll chokeslam you. Fine, how mature is that? It's not, right? Like, that's who you're dealing with, right? I'm being completely irrational about it, I am aware, but fuck you, I'm an adult and it's my choice.
I'll do the Sean Connery of The Rock when he gets bashed in the head with the butt of the gun. Thanks for proving my point.
Right, I mean...
All right, Super Bowl time. I'm sorry, I thought we were... Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, Super Bowl time. I'll do a prediction. I don't care about this game at all. I'm so bitter about the Bills getting smoked that I'm not claiming we got wronged. We got our asses kicked by Kansas City. They won the game fair and square. I am now being a bitter fucking child and saying, fuck you. I'm not going
to... Well, I'm not bitter. I thoroughly enjoy my Apple and Google products. Okay, I'm not bitter about it. Okay. I just refuse to change.
Right. When it comes to football at this particular moment, I am extremely bitter. The only thing that will make me happy is horrific weather. Just like... hail pelting down on Tom Brady.
You don't want that.
I want terrible weather. I want an awful game. I want six picks by both guys.
See, because what'll happen, even if you got terrible weather, like Pat Mahomes would probably have like a historic game.
That's
and
fine.
It wouldn't be fun. You know how mad you would be if this dude threw for like five touchdowns in a terrible weather game and it looked like it didn't even affect him. Like you would run out in the traffic.
I wouldn't.
God damn it, nothing can stop him.
There is no event in this game.
And his fiance's hot.
But
catch up on his steak.
That is the reason to hate him. Look, I respect the hell out of Pat Mahomes. I don't hate the guy. I just don't like what he did to my team when he kicked the fuck out of us last week, 2 weeks ago. And I'm not cheering for him, but I'm sure as fuck not cheering for Tom Brady. And you know what? Briefly, I said to myself, LeSean McCoy's going to win a Super Bowl. I'm a big LeSean McCoy fan. He won it last year.
He won last year.
Yeah, so no, I can't. Sorry, Shady, but
why should have cut his ass.
I like LeSean McCoy. He was a really cool guy when he came to Buffalo. He was an effective player.
He was a good player in Philly. He was, you know, he
was the
hard
face of Buffalo for a year, offensively.
Yeah, the Bills had T.J. Yeldon. Why you didn't play him? Like, I don't understand why they keep guys like that on the roster.
We can get Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, later on and do that. But anyway, I am not cheering for anyone. I honestly expect Kansas City to absolutely crush them.
Tampa Bay's defense is really good. And their offensive is effective. I mean, you got Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin.
You got Tom fucking Brady.
Right. I mean, you've got Leonard Fournette, who's playing like, you know, Leonard Fournette, you know, early Jacksonville days. You know, like they've got plenty of talent on offense. Will Antonio Brown play? I don't know. What's interesting is that both Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are on
rosters in this
game, but Antonio Brown is injured and Le'Veon Bell has just been really ineffective and I think is also injured. So they both may see zero snaps in this game. One of them will end up with a Super Bowl, which will be interesting. So, I mean, like if Le'Veon Bell ends up with the Super Bowl and he doesn't play, I mean, I guess... technically, he wins the whole thing with Pittsburgh. I don't know. But it's just interesting from a Steeler fan perspective to see, like, if both of those guys are in this game and don't play, it's like, ooh, man, that's got to be shitty for both of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're not – and even if Le'Veon Bell plays, I just can't imagine him having much of a role. Now, if Antonio Brown plays, Antonio Brown is going to play, right? Like, his issue has never been – you know, once he's on the field, no issues there.
Right.
Right. And he hasn't really slowed down. It's just that.
Unfortunately, that was 3 hours a week. And what he did in the other.
Right.
6 days and 23 hours or 21 hours gets sketchy.
That gets very, very sketchy. You know, so it'll be interesting. I don't really have a rooting interest for either team. I don't really care. You know, like I'm not a Tom Brady fan. It would, you know, there are people for Tampa Bay I would like to see win. Mike Evans is a guy I root for. Todd Bowles is a, you know, really good coach. It would be nice to see him win as a defensive coordinator. You know, and Bruce Arians, like he was a Steeler offensive coordinator who was a little wild, but I like Bruce, so I wouldn't mind seeing him win a Super Bowl. You know, and for Kansas City, like, listen, I love Andy Reid. I think he's really a great ambassador for the sport.
That's fair.
I like Pat Mahomes. He's, you know, I mean, it sucks. He's so good, and, you know, my team can't beat him right now, but the kid can play. And there's, you know, there's guys you root for in Kansas City, although they already won last year. So, you know, I'm kind of neutral. I got FanDuel stuff going. You know, our league is live, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So pick your team and then, you know, tell your people on your side. I'll tell my people on my side. Make sure rosters are full. And then other stuff. So, you know.
What's your prediction? Score.
Kansas City wins by 10.
Okay.
Kansas City
by 17 is my prediction.
The game, there's going to be, it's a Super Bowl. It's a big game. There's a lot of people, even though Kansas City was there last year, like, there are people who have not played in this game. There's going to be jitters and all that other stuff. Tampa Bay's defense is really good.
Kansas City rolled them earlier this year, though, right? They smoked them this year.
Okay, this is the Super Bowl. I understand.
Well, right. I'm going with 34-17. You go with whatever you want to go with, and the game will be publishing this right before the game starts.
I think it's a Kansas City 10-point win.
All right, which is a pretty solid win, by the way.
I think Kansas City can just put so much pressure on. And even though Tampa Bay's defense is really good, I just don't think that they have the weaponry to stop the speed. Kansas City has.
They're loaded.
And the game's in Florida, at home in Tampa.
Which has never happened before. It's kind of weird.
I think it would normally be an advantage for Tampa, but because it's a Super Bowl, you're not going to have nearly the home field advantage you would normally have. And again, Kansas City speed, it's going to be a fast track. The weather's going to be good. That's not good for Tampa.
I agree that it's not good for Tampa, but honestly, though, Tom Brady is like Jason from Friday the 13th. He's not dead until he's dead. That guy will, as much as I hate him, he's okay at playing football.
Yeah, he's not gonna. I mean, like, the reality is he didn't really play well in the NFC Championship game. He got bailed out by Green Bay just playing worse.
Right. Right.
So. I don't think that happens again against Kansas City. So
we will see. On that note, we are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. We're done.